Hey, hey, it's Debbie Barth.
And it's Linda Alexander.
And this is Dori DiCarlo. We are the Three Wise Girls, a tad brassy, a bit sassy, and always classy. And we have a wonderful show lined up for you today. So I'm going to turn it over to Debbie so she can introduce our guest.
Thanks, Dori, and good afternoon to our wonderful co-host, Dori DiCarlo and Linda Alexander, and also a very, very warm welcome to all of our listeners today. And I got to tell you guys, we have a lot of ground to cover in a very, very short period of time. We are going to be talking with a lady who makes friends with everyone with which she comes in contact. She has an endearing, charismatic style when she speaks that not only captures her audience's attention, it captures their hearts. I know that the first time I heard her, she captured my heart. She has been featured as a keynote speaker at many association events and trade shows. She is the founder of Elite Leads Business Development, the largest entrepreneurial educational program in the Bay Area, and of course I am talking California. She is a prolific writer with several popular books to her credit, including Create Your Own Reality, The Ancient Wisdom, which is dedicated to help people live their life on purpose. Mixing It Up, her book that is designed to lead entrepreneurs toward success. JOBS, Just Over Broke Syndrome, for anyone who has ever thought about starting their own business. Making a List and Checking It Twice, an inspirational guide to help singles choose a great mate. And I could have used this book 2 marriages ago. Be Your Own Boss Guide, which is an in-depth look into finding the right business for the right personality. And she's also written her first children's book, The Adventures of Master Pineapple. She uses a study of physiognomy to build trusted communications with her clients, and she's going to be talking to us today about what physiognomy is as it's related to business and how that exactly works. In fact, she is going to be doing some facial readings, if you will, live on the show today. So if you are in the chat room, go on and put your links to a page with a picture of you into the chat area, and we will promise to do our best to get to you. This is an absolutely fantastic opportunity for you to find out what your face is saying about your business personality. Sharon is also going to be sharing with us how she got 27 of her blog websites to the top 1% of all websites in the world. She will also be talking to us about using social media techniques to build a client base and the 7 techniques to thrive in any economy. Sharon has been featured as a featured guest, on the Oprah Winfrey Show, and now she has really hit the big time. She is talking with the Three Wise Girls. Sharon Abbott, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Debbie. What a great introduction. Wow.
Well, you know, I could have gone on and on, but I figured we needed to spend time with you actually being on the show. So we had to do something. And I do want to go back, and I want to just say something real honest here. If you go into any of your websites and so forth, you will see where it does read and talk about your charismatic personality and how you tend to draw people into to what you're saying and how you get the attention of their hearts as well. But what it doesn't say is that Debbie Barth has actually experienced that, because I remember, I think it was sometime last year, that I was sitting at home listening to you on another talk show, and I truly was drawn in immediately and just sat there and said, you know, there's something that's very, very real about this person. I'm going to get to know her. And it's just been a real, real privilege to know you. So I want to get that out of the way right from the beginning.
Thank you.
And well, you're very welcome. That what I want to do, because we have a lot of information we want to cover, is I'm going to just jump right to it. I listed so many of your books just a few minutes ago, and I want to start out with the last book that I mentioned, and that is Master Pineapple, your first children's book. And I know that there are several reasons that this book came to light, and I want you to share that with our audience. I know that it's very special in your heart. So tell me about Master Pineapple, its origin, its relationship to you, your health issues, and what it can mean to other people.
Well, it actually came about through a dream, and the dream was inspired when my brother had colon cancer. And my brother is probably, he was one of the dearest people ever in my life. And I woke up one morning, and the dream was so vivid that I sat down and wrote it out. By noon, it was all typed out, 3,500 words, and it's a story about 8 children who have cancer, and they're in an oncology clinic, and all of them are terminally ill. And through the adventures that they go through, all of them become completely cured. And it was such, I guess, an awakening for me that sometimes it really is just our mindset and what we expose ourselves to that help us get through things that are really challenging. So I love sharing that, and then I've actually made that available so all the profits of that book go to a cancer treatment clearinghouse. So if somebody needs a wig or they need money to get to chemo or, you know, like overnight stays at hotels, this A Light Shines actually provides them whatever they need. And so to me it's a great way of taking something that affected my life. You remember I also had cancer. And so I can take something that really affected my life in a big way and turn it around and try to help other people.
You know, you said that you had cancer, and so that would mean to me that you do not have cancer now.
No, I'm cancer-free. It was in 2000, and I've been cancer-free for 10 years. This month, actually. Wow.
Congratulations. And I wanted to get that out because this book, to me, is adorable. People can go to www.masterpineapple.com and can, you know, see what this book is really all about and also read an excerpt from this book. It, again, is www.masterpineapple.com. And I just think it's wonderful. And as now tell me, what was the name of the organization? Was it Shine a Light?
A Light Shines.
A Light Shines. Okay. And can people get any more information on this particular organization or?
Yeah, if they go to alightshines.org, all the information is on that website.
Okay. You know, another thing that I love and adore about you, and there's so many things, is that you really are a philanthropist at heart, and you really do really help so many people, especially children. I know that you have just started a school in Belize, and I would love for you to talk on that for just a few moments.
Thank you so much for mentioning that because, it's inspired by my brother. He passed away 2.5 years ago, and I decided to leave a legacy for him because I've never in my life met somebody as positive and friendly and upbeat. Whether somebody was 6 months or 96, they were his friend. And I just loved his sense of humor and how much joy he brought into the world. And because he was adopted, it occurred to me one day, I heard this report, and it, in our country, the United States, one of the wealthiest countries in the world, we have only 60% of our children graduating from high school. And of the 40% who don't, only half of them live beyond 35 years old. So I kind of noodled that around a little bit and then decided that I should figure out a way to help at least a few of these kids. So I came up with the idea of doing a school. It's called UBU, which is, I think, very, very stately. I think that if we could get everybody to be themselves instead of who they're pretending to be, we would be so much better off. And it's called the Ultimate Business University, ultimatebusinessuniv.com. And I'm taking 300 children from the streets. So they've left their homes, they're emancipated, they're 15 to 18-year-old boys, and I'm moving them to Belize so that I can actually put them through a program where we will be able to remove all negative emotion that they've ever been exposed to. So anger, fear, and abandonment issues will only be a dim memory, and they'll be able to learn twice as fast. They'll be able to retain what they learn. All of the education will be in multimedia. So I've been saying that I want the education to look like a Star Wars movie.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fun to learn. You know, that's the problem. It's really hard work. And then in the afternoons, I will have every boy will have to take every elective course, like electrical engineering, plumbing, cooking, sewing, agriculture, auto mechanics, performing arts. So they walk out of high school really well-rounded. And their junior year, they have to start writing their own grants so that when they leave high school, they have enough money to go to any school anywhere in the world.
Mm. Now, are these children, they're not necessarily in the Belize area. They're from, I guess, a lot of different depressed areas? Or where are you selecting, or what is the selection process?
I'm in the San Francisco Bay Area, and mm-hmm. we are going to be taking the first 300 boys from the Bay Area or nearby, because what I did is I was speaking about a year ago, this man came up to me, and he said, "Do you know about the Little Leos program?" And he explained to me that Little Leos is a program for kids at risk that the Lions Club heads up. And so they have now agreed to do all the screening for the boys here in the Bay Area to get them legally to be able to move to Belize.
I think that is wonderful. And then, of course, I would imagine it will grow from there. And people, I guess, children will be selected from different areas as you grow. I imagine as you grow, there's going to be a lot of different things that you'll be adding and changing and so forth.
Oh, absolutely.
I want to commend you on that, Sharon. I think that is such a beautiful and it's inspiring to know that these kids are going to have a chance, because I can only imagine that it's not a very nice life being emancipated and on the streets, you know, at 15 years old.
Well, my thought was, how bad is the home if you'd rather mm-hmm. live on the streets among the drug mm-hmm. and the crime, in the cold, and you know, not having any food?
Exactly, and I think, you know, that really plays to the heart to me of the misperceptions that people have when they walk down the street and they see these kids out there and they instantly think the worst. I honestly don't believe either that people or children would choose to be out on the street instead of in a warm, loving home, you know, with a bed and, you know, feeling safe and secure. I can't believe that they would choose this. They'd get up one morning and say, "I think it's going to be way cool to live out on the streets." And
no,
so...
And they know
yeah.
it's frightening. You know, they've been out there a little bit, and then home is so bad because of their mm-hmm. parents' drug abuse or because physical abuse that it's preferential to live on the streets.
And that's a sad commentary.
May I ask
it
a question?
It is a sad commentary. You're right.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Linda.
I just had a question. Oh, Sharon, I know that the whole concept is fascinating and you know, as Debbie said, that's extraordinary. My question is, though, do you come upon any kind of legal issues of, you know, with these kids, or how do you go about all those technicalities?
Well, that's exactly why the Leo's program is actually who's going to clear the kids. So once the kids have lived on the street, they can actually emancipate themselves from their parents, so their parents have nothing to say about what they do.
So no one can come back
choice.
At it.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Now, that was just, you know, because you see all this, we saw the Haiti thing going on and so forth, and I realize it's
right.
not the same issue, but kids on the street, and then all of a sudden, wham, the parents are back at it all over again.
Right. And after 12 years old, you can actually go to court and emancipate yourself.
Yeah.
It's just like a 12-year-old can actually choose which parent to live with.
Let me ask you, too, this is a tremendous undertaking, and, you know, one of my questions would be funding.
Well,
how in the world are you able to fund this?
I'll take money from anywhere.
There you go. I just wanted to kind of get that in there.
What I'm doing is actually doing it through events. So I have a dive association that's going to do two dive trips for me, and that will cover all my teacher salaries and their benefits. I have Belize happens to be the second largest barrier reef, just ideal for diving. And it's almost like if you could wind the clock back 50 years ago, that's what Belize is like. So it's a very pleasant place to be. And then I have golf tournaments. So I'm looking for people that can actually help me head up 6 golf tournaments in a community. And each of those golf tournaments will raise enough money to probably put together about 20% of the budget. And so by doing this, so 5 groups of 6, there's my whole budget.
There you go.
Karen, this is Dory. Where are you looking to do those golf events?
Anywhere. So what I'm looking for is a place that would have enough within, like, driving distance that people could have 12 times 6, so 72 golf courses that could be pitted against each other. So 12 courses in each tournament.
Interesting. I might have good contact for you with that.
Wonderful. Thank you, Dory.
Yeah, I will. I will
Dory has got good contacts, trust me. And Dory, I thank you as well. It would be awesome. I think that you two definitely need to talk.
Yeah, I actually just talked to him this morning. And he's somebody who does golf events all around the world, actually, but mostly here in the U.S., and so he might be a great contact. So I will put you in touch with him.
Thank you so much. I so appreciate it. Now, this is an excellent point, you know, because I really believe in the law of attraction. So when people are clear about what they want and they put it out there, it's almost like creating like your own phone line, and people with the same vibration tap into that phone line and show up.
Exactly.
That's a good way to put it.
Well, you know, it's just a simple concept, but very few of us really seem to grasp it.
Well, think of this. This is so funny. I was listening to Dennis Waitley, you know, The Science of Getting Rich, and he says in this, and I've listened to it probably maybe 10 times over 10 years, but this is the first time I actually heard this. If you wanted to send me a message, would you just send me the alphabet?
Wow. I love it.
No, you'd send me a clear and concise message so that I would know what you're talking about. And yet when we decide, we get up in the morning and we go, okay, well, I'm going to get a job today. And then you talk to somebody and they say, oh, there's nobody hiring. There's no jobs. And then you go, oh, you're right. There's no jobs. I'm just going to go home. And so we contradict ourselves.
You know, that's a very good point. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dory.
I was just going to say in your Be Your Own Boss guide, the whole self-sabotage, it's amazing how easily people allow themselves to hear one negative thing and, you're absolutely right. You're right. I can't do that. Or my son just came home after being away for a year and a half. He has 3 job interviews today. Nobody's hiring, but he's got 3 job interviews today. And you know what? He did the smart thing. All of these companies are hiring online. He was dressed nicely. He walked in. He was like, hi, I just moved into the neighborhood, and I'm looking for a job, blah, 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 blah. You know what? And he went to 30 places. I mean, he really did over the course of a couple of weeks, but went in and just happened, you know, they were like, hey, great. Why don't you come in? He did his online application, and 3 places called him to come in and interview with them today. So if he listened to everybody else going, nobody's hiring right now, why would he have even bothered? So I think people give themselves that permission for self-sabotage because it does keep them in their own comfort zone. It's like, well, you know, my history has shown me. It's like history is history. That's in the past. What is today showing you?
And we are back, and Dory did a great lead-in for me because the next thing I want to talk about is your book, Be Your Own Boss Guide. And, you know, it says right on the title, find the right business for the right personality. And I really think that so many people are defeating themselves right from the very beginning because I think that when they're looking at a business opportunity, whether it's brick and mortar, online, whatever, they have a tendency to look at other factors like financing and all those things that need to be considered, but totally overlook the fact of whether or not it's the right personality. Can you kind of elaborate on your books and give us a center point of the writing of this book?
Well, the book came about because I was speaking in San Jose to a group of unemployed people, and I had been there for 5 years in a row, and it was just the strangest thing. I couldn't get anybody in the audience to respond to me, which I think you know by now. I can kind of get people to laugh and somehow respond, mm-hmm. but everybody just stared at me. And it was the toughest speaking engagement I think I've ever had. And after I was done, I went up to the organizer and I asked, Gary, what in the world did I do? And he says, geez, I should have told you they're all ex-convicts. I looked at him and go, do you think it would have been a different presentation other than trying to talk people into be entrepreneurs rather than, you know, talking about all this other stuff? I could have directed it to them. And he said, geez, you know, I should have thought of that. So that's about an hour away from me. So all the way home I'm thinking, because he told me this one young man, 35 years old, lost his job in IT, couldn't get another job, and he ended up going to jail. The district attorney put him in jail for 2 years because he couldn't pay his child support. So that's kind of a white-collar crime, and it's totally ridiculous, and that DA should be fired. But since I have nothing to do with that, I kept thinking about how is somebody in an IT position ever going to get another job in a firm knowing that he has a prison record? And it just tortured me. So by the time I came home, I had already been teaching personality recognition for about 5 years. And so I thought, what if I created something where I could identify that a CPA is an analytical? So as an amiable, you wouldn't want to be a CPA. And I thought, okay, what else can I figure out? So construction people, they have to use math, so they have to have some logic, so they have to have a little analytical. And people who are dealing with people need to be amiable. And if you have to make quick decisions, you have to be a driver. And somebody who is a speaker or a PR person would be an expressive. So I went online, and it was the most challenging book I've written. 3.5 years it took me to write it, and I'll never do another research book because it's painful. I mean, it was just so slow. So I came up with 125 businesses someone could start based on their personality and combine it with their work experience so that work is not work, it's just part of their personality, and how anybody can actually create $50,000 a year within the first year by using the techniques of finding people in the business community who are already working with your potential clients and getting the majority of your business referred to you.
Wow. Now, this book is also, is this at your SharonAbbott.com site? Because I want to make people know where they can get this.
Yeah, everyone, all of my books, everything is on SharonAbbott.com, SharynAbbott. And then all of the books also have their own website, so BeYourOwnBossGuide.com. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of different ways of getting it.
Well, I love it, too. And again, I go back to the fact, and what you said is so true. You know, work can mean a lot of different things, or having a job or a career means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And some people, for some, it is just really just work. And for some people, it's fun. It's like play. You know, people sit there and go, I can't believe I'm making money doing what I like to do. But isn't that what we really should be doing in the first place?
Absolutely. We've got this all wrong. I saw this other study, and it was about the same time I decided to write the book. The IRS did this study, and they said that 1 in 8 people do something to earn their income that they enjoy.
That's sad.
So, did you know that more heart attacks happen on Monday morning than the 6.5 days of the week combined?
Yeah,
I have heard that.
This is Dory. That shocked me when I heard that in your interview.
Well, think about it. People would rather let their heart attack them than go to work.
Well, you know, it's funny. When you said the thing about speaking with the ex-convicts, I would think being an entrepreneur, is probably the smartest thing for them to do.
I think that's what got them in trouble in the first place. But that's just my opinion.
Well, if they didn't have the guidance and they don't have enough money to take care of themselves, then you're absolutely right. So how is it that we have not corrected the system? Like Bill Campbell was, I think, a middle linebacker for the Chicago Bears, and he does a prison program. He's in 300 prisons a year, and he found out that every man in prison hates, not dislikes, not indifferent, hates their father.
Wow.
So if we know this, and this is a common factor, then why aren't we doing something to change the relationship between fathers and sons? And the other part of that that just amazed me, only 2% of men in prisons are Jewish.
So why, okay, so then people would say, okay, but so we have to think specifically why? Is it because of the family dynamics? I mean, obviously, I guess that's what you would say, the family dynamics, but what makes theirs so different from everybody else's? I mean, I know the religion, obvious. I mean, not the obvious things. It can't be the obvious things.
No, but specifically, every time a Jewish man sees their son, no matter how old they are, he hugs them, he kisses them, and he tells them, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the primary difference.
Well, Italians are like that, too, don't you think?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I'm from an Italian family, and I've never not seen everybody hug and kiss any time they see each other, so.
Yeah, but there's also a lot of yelling going on.
Yeah, now, you know what, that's true. That's true. I've got an Italian sister-in-law, and, you know, yeah, I think it's true.
And the other part of it is, it's not only the yelling, but the patriarch of the family is dictatorial. So, and I know it's changed a lot in the last 20 years, but it's typically the head of the family is saying, this is what you're going to do. This is what I want you to do. And there's no question about it. So there's rebellion.
You know what? I as far as I'm concerned, I know there's going to probably be people that disagree with you, Sharon, you know, especially if they're an Italian family and perhaps the dynamics are a little bit different. But I have to say that from my own experiences, you hit it right on the head. And you know all that yelling and the stuff? It does create stress. And words can't be erased once it's said. And
so I think the whole point was missed in the, using the statistics and using the study that Bill Campbell had. The whole point is, why aren't fathers being more loving and caring with their sons? It has the rest of it, whether it's ethnic or anything else, isn't the point. And you can find argument with anything. But the fact is, when you look at all the population and all the prisons, 2% of the men are Jewish. And if you look at the dynamic in the family, it's because they're loving and attentive and caring. And as a rule, at the time that boys turn 14 or 15, there's a combative nature between father and son. And that pushes the sons away and forces them. Becoming men, they're becoming independent. They want to think for themselves. And because the father still thinks of them as being children, the father wants to say, no, you'll do as I say. You're not going to go out. You're not going to do this. Fathers are work too hard. They don't have enough time to spend with their kids. And so it becomes a battle of wills. And causes the indifference. So we're not arguing, you know, a culture here. What I'm trying to bring out is if there is a common factor, and we know this, and everybody goes on their merry way thinking it has nothing to do with them, then we can do something about it. Why aren't we doing something as a whole any more than we know that only 60% of our children are graduating high school? In California, when I graduated high school in the late 60s, and so what we did is we had, we were third in the nation at the top of education. Today we are second in the bottom of all 50.
Hello, I am. The book that we were discussing at the time was Be Your Own Boss Guide, and you can find that at www.beyourownguestguide.com. Is that right, Sharon?
BeYourOwnBossGuide.com. Perfect.
Thank you. All righty. Now, let's get into, I'm sorry?
No, I said, and that's what's being posted on the online.
Okay, great. Thanks, Linda. Now let's get into, very interesting art or science or whatever people want to call it, physiognomy. I want you to tell us what physiognomy is. Now, I've got my own ideas, and I know that police have been using physiognomy for a long time. But tell us about physiognomy and how it relates to business.
Well, this was actually created by Aristotle in the 1400s. So it is a science, and there's nothing hocus-pocus about it, and there's no judgment about it. It basically is looking at the characteristics of your face, and you will actually be able to learn how to communicate with people. So I use physiognomy to know how to make people comfortable faster so that I don't have to work as hard to be able to get the message across. And in 1935, Judge Jones in Chicago, Ed Jones, started using physiognomy so that he could create the kind of track record. So he'd look at somebody and he'd say, guilty, not guilty. And depending on how the jury found, he was 90% accurate in just looking at people's faces. So it truly is a science. So I got very interested in combining it with the personality recognition and started teaching other people how to use it so that it's immediately when you meet someone, you know how to talk to them and how to make them comfortable with you.
I mean, so apparently, I mean, it's not a long, drawn-out process. It's something that you can, once you know what it is you're looking for, you can ascertain or make a judgment immediately.
Exactly, and there are certain characteristics that you can use as a guideline, and they're very easy to use and to remember. So it's not like you have to, study and study and study forever and ever. It's very rapid to be able to figure it out.
Okay, and you're able to kind of put a business personality type on people that you meet as well. So, and, you know, of course, everybody wants to have you. I'm sure you, when people find out what you do, they, you know, it's always, do me. I want to know, do me. And so we're going to do the do me now. And I want you, you know, frankly, I'd like for you to do us all. And I don't know who you want to start with.
Well, let's start with Dory.
Okay.
So I picked up your picture from Facebook, Dory. And what a beautiful picture that is. And when I'm looking at your face, I know that you have a little bit of logic to your personality. Like, you're more comfortable when somebody will say, first we're going to do this, then we're going to do that. And Linda has more of that than you do, but you're slightly that way. And Debbie's quite a bit like that. So when you're talking with each other, the great thing is always put things in an order. So Dory's more likely to be descriptive with what she's talking about, and in some situations Debbie is going to find a little discomfort in maybe if you get too grand in your descriptions. But you're the kind of person, and I think all three of you are, because it's typical with amiable personalities, and then Debbie has the most expressive personality, but all three of you have a rounded nose, so the very end of your nose is kind of rounded. And so you like hearing stories about other people's success, and that's one of the things that makes you comfortable in working with someone, is knowing that somebody else has been successful working with that person that you're considering doing business with. And then Dory's lips are fairly even, although the bottom lip is slightly larger than the upper lip, which means, Dory, you're a great listener, right? And so is Linda. So when the bottom lip is a little larger, it's easier for people to listen. In fact, Debbie, yours is the same way. So if you were talking to me, I have a larger upper lip. So I have a tendency to want to be doing the talking. And I've actually had to learn to train myself to bite my tongue and not always be talking. So it's really difficult for me to just sit there and listen. Well, imagine if you're trying to bring on a client and they have a larger upper lip and you're doing all the talking because you want them to know all about you, all the good points, why they're going to do work with you. And they're just bored out of their mind because they want to be talking. So now you can look at their upper lip and go, okay, I've got to engage them. What do you think? You know, what's your experience? How can I help you? What's best for you? So you can ask questions to get them talking more. So those are some easy, easy characteristics to look at. Now, the thing I love about the eyebrows, and so, Dory, do you have a tendency to enjoy it when people get real close to you physically when you first meet them?
Yes, I don't have comfort. I don't have problem with spatial. I can definitely be a close talker, but I let them do that. I tend to let somebody come to me.
Right, and Linda, you're a little less likely to want people to be like in your space within your 3 feet.
I'm a lot less likely. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And then, Debbie, when I'm looking at your eyes, of course, your picture is not fair because you're raising your eyebrows, but you're more like Dory.
Yeah.
You don't mind it when people get close to you, right?
Mm-hmm. Not at all.
So this is the more distance there is between, like, if you put one finger across your iris, and like your index finger, and then your middle finger on top of it, the more space there is between the second finger and your eyebrow is the closer people can get to you. So like with Linda and I are kind of the same. If somebody bumps into me at the grocery store, I don't take to it very kindly. And other people would just go, oh, that's okay. I find it an invasion of my space, and I have to really check myself so that I don't react to it. Because it's like I immediately go to, can't you see I'm here? Am I invisible? Why would you bump into me? But other people would just kind of brush it off. But it has to do with our spatial relationship. And Linda and I like a little more space around us.
Give me my space.
Yeah, exactly. So this is just amazing. If you meet somebody who has a pointed nose or a pointed chin, then get to the point. You don't want to be giving them tons of details and dragging on the story. They just want you to get to the bottom line. And the thing, I love this because it's not very often that this happens with this combination, Dory. You know how your chin is kind of square?
Uh-huh.
That means you would rather people get to the point, don't give you the fluff, don't give you, like, all of these shoulds, coulds, woulds stuff. Just tell me as it is.
That's true.
Isn't that amazing?
But I don't have a problem when they want to give me all the fluff and stuff. I'm happy to listen, but there's that part of me inside that's like, just cut to the chase.
Exactly.
Tell me exactly what you want.
Exactly. Yes. Now, wouldn't you be a lot happier if I was trying to do business with you and I just said, okay, Dory, this is what's going to happen and this is how it works. Is this going to be able to work with you?
Absolutely.
Right? And then if you have questions, you can ask, but it's I'm trying to honor how you process information rather than talking in my comfort level. So that's what I do with the Street Smart Sales is I get people to learn how to talk to somebody else's comfort level and get out of their own way long enough so that they can engage that person. Then their sales cycle is reduced by half.
Interesting.
Mm. It is, and what was it? Say that again. Street side.
Street Smart Sales, and the website
okay.
is streetsmartdifference.com. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful, Judy. Did Judy already put her link into the chat room so that Sharon could click on it?
I just reposted the link, so it's right there. So Sharon doesn't have to go back up to the top of the history.
Okay.
You know, I'm not seeing it, so help me out.
It's Judy, J-U-D-Y, Krause, C-R-O-U-S-E, dot webs, dot com.
Okay, hold on. Wait a minute. C-R, Judy, C-R.
O-U-S-E, dot webs, W-E-B-S, dot com. www.thewisdomcoach.com/.
There you go. Okay, great picture. So, Judy, you're also a good listener, and you like testimonials, but you actually see, like, the big picture of things. So when people are telling you information about how you're going to work together, you actually see it in a big picture format. The Your chin is also one that tells me that you want things to be even keel. You don't like days that are chaotic. You would really prefer things to be, like, very even. And a lot of people do. But, you know, this is one of the things that makes a person uncomfortable enough to start backing away and not do business with someone if they think the relationship is going to be chaotic. So with Judy, you'd always want to be on time. If you say you're going to spend a half an hour, you spend a half an hour. You know, you don't take advantage and spend 45 minutes without permission. I think the forehead, you're a logical person, so you like information presented logically. And then you're also somebody who is great at getting things done. So this is a knowing about yourself, I think, gave me a lot of comfort in just being okay with knowing about myself. And that's the other side of learning physiognomy. Sometimes people are very hard on themselves. But one day I asked this man, I said, if I told you you had to get up tomorrow and be 5'5 instead of 6 foot tall, what would you tell me? And he said, well, that's ridiculous. And I said, so then why would you expect yourself to be logical? It's not part of your personality.
There you go. All right, Judy, I'm hoping that was, in fact, I know it would be an accurate description, and I hope you enjoyed this with Sharon. I think it's really kind of neat that people can call in and to actually, this is valuable information, you know, and what I love about it is the fact that people that contact you and you help teach them how to do this, you know, it really saves them a lot of time. It's about actually not just who you are, but knowing who that person is that you're going to have some kind of business dealing with and how to approach that person more effectively.
Exactly.
So I think that's great. And, you know, we have to stop there because we've only got a few more minutes, and I promise to touch on everything. I want to talk to this wonderful lady who has got 27, and as I said, count them, 27 blogs in the top 1% of all websites in the world. Okay, and, you know, right, in 1 minute, tell me how you did that.
Well, I took 27 of my 40 websites, and I started testing last November, and I found out if you do this, this happens. If you do that, that happens. And so I created a system, and I think for the first time figured out how to get rankings to a website. So I'm getting between 50 and 1,500 hits a day on each one of my blogs because of the things that I'm doing in the back end. And they're things that everybody can do, and they're no cost. So I love to show people, you know, if you can get your website into the top 1%, that's under a million ranking on Alexa, then the likelihood of somebody finding you when they search your topic. So if they go to Google and they search phone video, you know, how is it likely that you're going to end up in the top 10? Well, it's not unless you have great rankings. And then you have all these other pieces that you put together to make that happen. So that's what I teach people. And I have a series of 3 DVDs. I'm doing a blog class. And I'm actually doing a webinar on Wednesday at 6 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. And if anybody's interested in just checking that out, there's no charge. blogifyyourbusinessnow.com, and then look for the webinar information. And there's just, to me, I think people are working too hard. And so the idea of this Blogify Your Business is designed to help people figure out how to work less hard and have more business come to them. Because we're global, we can do business with almost anyone anywhere in the world, but how do we get those people to find us?
Exactly. All right, moving on. Social media techniques to build a client base. Give us some tips on that.
This came about when I released my sixth book, Create Your Own Reality. I had four friends on Facebook, and John Bonner in New Jersey asked if I would add him as a friend. And I'm thinking, just another LinkedIn, just another website, you know, and I went, wait a minute, that's not me. So I said, sure, I'll add you as a friend. And then I thought, I'm going to go look at his friends. And his friends were Deepak Chopra, Robert Kiyosaki, Mark Victor Hansen, Jack Canfield. I mean, amazing people. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I've just hit the jackpot. So I spent an hour requesting friends, and I ended up with 92 friends by 9 o'clock the next morning. And I thought, this is it. But what I did different that most people do not understand about social media, it's social. So you build a relationship. So I have 4,800 friends, and I'm so happy to know that all three of the Wise Girls are friends.
Thank you.
Welcome. And it's a matter of developing a relationship with someone. So when I'm using Facebook primarily, what I'm doing is creating a joint venture, teleseminars, webinars, creating something where we both win, but we can share through each other's experience or through each other's databases, and we each gain from doing that. So it really is, I think, one of the most powerful tools to help somebody in business. And Facebook actually added a business profile so that you now can have your personal profile and a separate business profile, which is ideal because you don't want to be intermingling, you know, your kids' pictures and your pet pictures, your vacation pictures in with your business profile.
Exactly. And we're just about ready to run out of time. Where can they go to hear about and talk with you about all the things we've talked about, and including the seven techniques to thrive in any economy?
All of my information, Debbie, is on SharonAbbott.com, SharynAbbott.
Okay, Sharon, it has been so much fun, and I knew that we were just not going to do you justice as far as all the things that you could have shared with us today. But I appreciate, and I know we all appreciate, having you on our show. You have just been fantastic.
Thank you so much, ladies. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Sharon.
Okay, and we hope that you will come back on our show and at another time. And with that, this is Debbie Barth, Linda Alexander, and Dori DiCarlo wishing you all a great afternoon. Bye now.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.